It's time for conversations about our food and how it's grown on Farm to Table Talk with your host, Roger Wasson.
We tend to think about markets and farmers markets as being a fairly recent thing, but obviously when you stop to think about it, it actually has gone back a long time. I'm in one today that goes at especially long times, so try on like over a decade before the Civil War. And some of it is still here today, functioning in the same area in the core of a city. I'm at Findlay Market, and Findlay Market is in the middle of Cincinnati. And I'm happy to welcome today to Farm to Table Talk, Andrew Pitlick. And Andrew, you're the district manager, and this district we're going to talk about, that is the Findlay Market. Welcome to Farm to Table Talk.
Hey, Roger, thanks so much for having us. It's really great to be here.
So, you know, I've got people listening that are from all over the country. We even have some people listening around the world. How do you explain? You bump into somebody at the elevator, at the bar, or the coffee shop, and you say, I'm at Findlay Market. How do you describe it to somebody that has no idea what it is?
Sure. It's a historic marketplace that is historically the heart and soul of the city of Cincinnati, as far as I can tell. One of the things that's really incredible about Findlay Market now is we were able to take a piece of the past, of the history of the city of Cincinnati, and really the Ohio Valley region as it was, you know, 170 some odd years ago, and are able to still live a little bit of that today, and a lot of the work that we're doing at Findlay Market right now is working to ensure that, you know, that kind of experience, that sort of rich, diverse market experience, is something that can remain relevant and succeed going into the future. So it's a farmer's market, it's a craft market, it's a prepared food market. It's really an incredible urban experience for people in Cincinnati.
And it's an indoor market too. I mean, you've got some that's out there, but you've got a cover over it, and it's like some of the other old central markets in the eastern United States, and especially.
Yeah.
Did it shut down any time, like take time off for the Civil War or anything like that?
No. So the market, Findlay Market, was ground was broken in 1852. I believe it got up and running permanently in 1855. And my understanding is that it has been continuously run ever since, which is really pretty incredible.
So when you walk into the building, and it's a long, narrow kind of, I don't know how narrow, but it's oblong or rectangular.
Correct.
You walk down through the building. And so if we were able to go back in Civil War times where they had meat and food and bread and all those things in the market then?
Yeah. It is a long, long market house. For a majority of the history, it was sort of the meat houses on the interior of the marketplace. Some eggs, some fermented goods and things like that as well. And then in the two streets that are on the north and the south of the market, you'd see a lot of produce vendors that would set up. A lot of farmers would come in from the surrounding region, Indiana, Southwest Ohio, and Northern Kentucky, and set up along the market house as well. And that structure is really something that's remained consistent throughout the majority of the history of Findlay Market. We have farmers that come in and set up on the north side of the market on a weekly basis. Most of our meat vendors are on the interior of the market, although some of our farmers do bring meat products as well. And that's sort of a structure that's remained for the entirety of Findlay Market's existence.
So some in the time, this went from being maybe the best part of town and went through a stage where it wasn't the best part of town. So this was kind of a rough neighborhood for a while. I'm not sure when that ended, but it would have been considerably different than it is right now. I'm not saying that.
Yeah, no, it's true. Findlay Market is in the heart of Over the Rhine. It's a neighborhood on the north, sort of the north section of downtown Cincinnati. A historically German neighborhood for a long time, great population density. And then at a certain point in the history of Cincinnati, sort of during, you know, the flight out of the urban core, you saw a lot of people leaving. And as people started to come back into the community, take in those spaces, you know, you saw different issues of neglect and city government that just wasn't so involved in what was going on in this neighborhood. Back in about 2001, I believe it was, there were actually race riots in this neighborhood. During that time, Findlay Market kept going. Findlay Market didn't shut down, didn't miss a weekend, which is a pretty incredible part of the history. And I think gives Findlay Market an opportunity to say that, you know, it was part of the healing for the city after that. Since then, and certainly in the last decade or so, there's been a lot of investment in over the Rhine and a lot of economic development that has sort of stemmed from Findlay Market itself.
Well, and what brought that on? Because people had other places they could put their money, but if they're going to invest in developing, what sparked it? That people would say, okay, this is going to go. We got to get behind it.
Yeah, I think that, you know, I can't speak specifically to the decision-making processes. Sure. But I think that when you go through over the Rhine in Cincinnati, there's a lot of magic here that's pretty apparent. We've got a great concentrations of very historic Italianate architecture. It's one of the most well-preserved historic districts in the country. And Cincinnati itself is a city that's been ascending. We're seeing more people moving back into the city of Cincinnati after decades of population sort of reducing. It's increasing again, I think that there's naturally a generational thing where folks want to live closer to downtown. Cincinnati's got a vibrant downtown, and Over the Rhine is a community and a neighborhood here that really offers a lot when it comes to, you know, access to parks, when it comes to, connection to a rich history of the community, and certainly a lot of really beautiful buildings that I think excite a lot of folks these days as well.
What this reminds me of is when I come down here is like in Larimer Square in Denver.
Right,
And a lot of that was rebuilt. There's some mm-hmm. other areas. The old market in Lancaster, Pennsylvania, the mm-hmm. old market in Philadelphia. And there's certain elements of starting going to the shops here, and it's kind of like Brooklyn.
Yeah.
You know, and the mix of artisans and right in the core is the Findlay Market. And I still am flabbergasted when you go back and say that this was going since, you know, before the Civil War and didn't even stop then.
Yeah.
That people have been coming there shopping, even though the neighborhood's gone up and down through that period of time. There was a point, though, that you added outdoor farmers markets, wasn't there? I mean, you had the core inner building, but then you started adding farmers market stands or an outdoor farmers market right adjacent to it.
Yeah, throughout the history of, I guess, markets and grocery stores, you know, shopper experiences and shopper expectations change. And at some point in, you know, I guess it was probably the 70s, 80s, 90s, you know, that kind of experience was beginning to change for folks. There's convenience that, you know, there was less expectation for what a market could be. And it was probably around 2000 or so, before my time at the market, where, you know, folks that were in charge decided, you know, there's more that we can do. There's more that we can develop. There can be something that's specifically a farmer's market that's set up that allowed for farmers to more easily come to the space. I mean, it's an urban market, very, very densely packed. I mean, it's not it's not immediately the most accessible place to back a big truck in that's got, you know, a bunch of potatoes and corn and stuff in there. So there was the development of a parking lot, and in that parking lot we have a farm shed where farmers are able to pull right up to the shed, set up, have their trucks right there. So it really helps, you know, make a convenient experience for the farmers, and also hopefully for our shoppers, our customers who are coming in. They're able to park, step right in, and then that really highlights the farmers as, you know, sort of the welcoming brigade for folks as they are getting here, and then after they get through, can, you know, experience the rest of the market as well.
Well, how far away do the farmers come here to?
We have sort of our rule of what local is. We're focused on local farmers, local artisans and goods, about 150 miles away from downtown Cincinnati. Most of our farmers are quite a bit closer than that. We generally just on the outskirts of Cincinnati proper. 30 or 40 miles is, I'd say, probably the average. So, you know, we kind of talk a little bit sometimes, and some of our farmers use the term micro-local because it is in that capacity. We have a few farmers that are a little further out, you know, some folks that are down in northern Kentucky about 2 hours out. We've got, you know, some meat vendors, clean meat, beef, pork, lamb, that is about 2 hours east, so a little bit further as well. But everything by necessity and by our definition of local needs to be within 150 miles of market.
Well, and local here, that takes you into Indiana, takes into Kentucky, takes you into Ohio, and going the other direction, you actually get at one edge of the Appalachians going up the Ohio River from here too. So it's quite a rich territory. How early are they unloading here when the farmers come in here?
Sure. We'll have folks on Saturday mornings. I mean, God love them. They're waking up a lot earlier than I am on those Saturday mornings. Folks will be getting up and getting on the road sometimes between 3:30 and 4 o'clock, depending on how much they have to load and unload. Folks will be, you know, our farmers will be setting up at the farm stand sometimes as early as 5 o'clock in the morning, 6 o'clock in the morning. The market doesn't open until 8 o'clock in the morning on Saturdays. So I normally get here a little bit later than they do, which I'm thankful for. But yeah, I mean, for a lot of our farmers, it's a very, very long market day.
You know, I used to like to, when I would get up early, I like to go to some markets when they were just unloading. And I've been into like Burroughs Market in London, and you could go like 4 or 5 in the morning, and it's kind of a wholesale market until it becomes a retail market.
Sure.
And it used to be that you could do that in New York in the meat market down on 12th Street.
Mm-hmm.
And that, but the thing that was important, they had to have some place open for coffee then, too.
Yeah.
So when people get down here real early in the morning, is there any place open that they can get a cup of coffee or something to eat?
You know, I don't know if we have any coffee shops that are open that early. We do, though, have a number of coffee shops around the market and some that are actually vending in the market itself. We've got some great meat stands and butchers who do breakfast sandwiches as well. I think that the history of the market and a lot of the personalities, a lot of the personal friendships that folks have made, those specific vendors, I think, will tend to open their doors a little early for some of the farmers that they know pretty well. But that's sort of a back of the house secret, I guess.
Yeah. Well, how long is your list to get into the market? Are there people that are just wish they, as soon as they hear that you've got some space open, that they're applying to be considered to be able to be in the market?
We generally open up our application process in December or January of you know the preceding year, and we get a lot of interest. There's a great deal of interest. I mean, it is a historic market. It is really in the heart of Cincinnati. It's a fun place to be and kind of a big deal. We do our best to get through as many of the applications and give everybody a chance if we can. One of the really fantastic things about Findlay Market is that we do have the capacity, we have the infrastructure to be able to accept a tremendous amount of vendors. We have we have 24 spots in the farm shed on a weekly basis, on a Saturday basis, and then on a Sunday basis it can change over. So we can get almost 50 different farmers in the farm shed if the demand is that high. And the same thing with our crafts vendors. We can get on a daily basis 25 folks on the north side, 10 different prepared food vendors on the south side, and that can switch over as well, not to mention the fact that we've got something like 33 vendors on the interior of the market house.
Yeah, the interior, and that, again, a lot of meat and breads and things that are in the interior, and they're open, what, 6 days a week, is it?
Yeah, Tuesday through Sunday, the interior of the market house is open. Currently, our roll-up doors, who are sort of interior, exterior, they're sort of on the north side of the market, in the market house, but with sort of those great garage doors that can roll up when the weather's perfect and roll back down when it's in the, you know, late November and it's getting chilly again. Those folks are here Friday through Sunday.
How would you describe the mix of people that come? What are the demographics, or where dear shoppers that come here to the market? Do you have a sense that it's changed at all over recent years?
It's changed a little bit. I'm not originally from Cincinnati. My wife, after we got married, we were living in Chicago, and she started to decide, okay, well, I'm going to get him to move down to Cincinnati with me. And this was really the first place that she brought me as sort of part of the long sell. It didn't take really a whole lot longer to convince me that Cincinnati was a great place to be. Findlay Market was a strong argument. One of the things about that argument that I really thought was incredible is the diversity of the shoppers that come to the market, that experience the market on a weekly basis. You know, there is a lot of you know, folks from the suburbs and sort of upper class folks that are coming down into the city to have that experience, and folks that are living in the urban core as well. This is their market. This is where they're coming. And so we really do work hard to cater to all of those expectations, whether folks are looking for high-end produce, high-end organic things, local things, or more conventional fare that's at a little bit more of an affordable cost. Same with our meats. You know, we've got great pasture-raised beef and pork, as well as more conventional meats, and making sure that we're able to meet those needs, meet those requirements for everybody that comes to Findlay Market. Same thing with our programming, looking to make sure that it's as diverse as possible because it is a diverse neighborhood, and also making sure that we're able to promote the assistance programs that we're able to use at Findlay Market, whether it's SNAP, Produce Perks, a great new project called Produce Prescriptions, where doctors in the area are actually prescribing fresh produce to their patients, and they're able to come with their prescriptions to the market. And we have a program that's going through the state of Ohio. It's in a pilot right now where we're able to do that, which is really fantastic.
So let's dig into that a little bit.
Sure.
More. So someone is, a doctor is saying you need to eat more fruits and vegetables, mm-hmm. but it actually is like a prescription. So how mm-hmm. does that affect them? If they come down here and shop and they got their shopping list, is there any incentive? Is there any way that they're getting any discounts or special deals or anything like that?
So the prescription actually is, it kind of comes in the form of a voucher, and we're able to treat it as cash for our farmers. That money comes through a state grant that is in a pilot program right now. This is actually the first year that we're doing it. I'm very hopeful that it continues on because it's been tremendous. We've seen a number of families in the area that are using it, and they've been using it very consistently at our market. It's a great way to, you know, get more fresh produce out into the community, help, you know, communicate and the you know, and educate around just how important a healthy diet is to a healthy lifestyle. And it just, you know, creates good, loyal shoppers and a great experience for our vendors as well.
Well, you were talking about having fresh produce, but mm-hmm. of course there are seasons here in Cincinnati.
Absolutely.
So are there any preserved products that are sold too? Do people have canned or jarred or frozen or anything like that?
We do have a few fermented vendors who will, they'll ferment products and then sell those as well. We also are working on developing programs for farmers who are interested in doing dehydrated products or frozen products as well. Findlay Market has a really incredible incubator program called the Findlay Kitchen, where we're able to help small food businesses starting up. And in the last couple of years, we've really been investing in that program, and we're going to make sure that it has great infrastructure to be able to help all of the needs of not only startup businesses, but also our long-term vendors who have come to the market for generations, and giving them more tools to be able to grow their businesses and you know, meet those expectations of evolving shopping habits.
I used to live in Santa Cruz, California, mm-hmm. and there were several examples of people that started at the farmer's market, and they were bringing whatever that they were making, sometimes in their own kitchens, that they were bringing to the farmer's market, and evolved into bricks and mortar.
Absolutely.
And you had the same experience here?
Yeah, we do indeed. We have a number of businesses who have started up through the Findlay Kitchen. We've been able to get them into Findlay Market as well on a, you know, weekly basis or monthly basis sometimes, and then into a weekly basis to kind of help them develop an understanding of what it's like to run that experience, run that business, and be customer facing. And then because we are a district that we're in charge of, you know, it's not just the market itself, and it's not just the street that's just north of it, but we have a number of storefronts that are being refurbished and being opened up on a rotating basis. We are working to get a lot of those businesses into those storefronts and help them develop those brick and mortars. So we've had a number of businesses who have set up that way. We're also currently working on a program called Findlay Launch that will be launching in 2019. That'll be a rotation of four different accelerator storefronts, getting different companies in there, having the opportunity to manage a brick and mortar, see how it works, see if it's what they want to do with as few sort of roadblocks or fixed expenses that, you know, kind of helping them through the process of understanding what they want to do.
So you're helping new businesses get established, and the mm-hmm. fact they got these new businesses, that helps new farmers or farmers get established and
Absolutely.
Grow. And then you're in an area that you're building up the area.
Mm-hmm.
I want to come back to what's unique about the area too.
Sure.
Because you've got Now it's almost kind of a hipster vibe to it, that is, you know, kind of cool places with lofts and everything. And at the same time, you've got people still in the area that are poor, and you're balancing taking care of, you know, both audiences. And the SNAP program, which, what is it? It's a Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program. It used to be food stamps. How does that work for people to come to the market and use SNAP?
Sure. Well, SNAP, EBT, electronics benefits transfers, you know, in a lot of situations, grocery stores or convenience stores or things like that, you know, folks will have a credit card and they'll process it just like they would a credit card at the counter. But at a farmer's market, you know, that infrastructure necessarily is going to be different. So we use a token system where we have an information shed where folks can come up to the shed. You know, we have somebody that's always manning that, and we'll be able to process their EBT, give them tokens that they can then use, different colors for different programs that they're using, and treat that as cash with the vendors that they're shopping through. There are different restrictions that apply to different programs, of course, but then at the end of the day, those farmers are able to bring those tokens back to us. We will give them a receipt and we'll reimburse them via check, direct deposit, something like that, you know, very rapidly afterwards. And so it definitely works to make sure that folks understand that opportunity is there. Some of these programs like Produce Perks, which is a really fantastic matching program, folks will come in, they'll have a certain amount of money that they want to use on EBT or with SNAP. We can match that up to $20 specifically for fresh fruits or vegetables. So it's a really, really great program that, again, gets more local produce, better nutrition into communities that absolutely need to have, you know, that kind of access.
You know, it's just amazing how much you're touching the people, the community and the farmers, and right here in the heart of the city. Where do you get your leadership for this? I mean, there must, somebody's got to be sitting around on boards or committees or others and must be doing some fundraising to help it. How do you keep this thing going and that direction set for it?
Sure. Well, we've got a great team here that is running the nonprofit management team of Findlay Market. Our nonprofit is governed by a board of directors. We've got lawyers. We've got tech folks. We've got HR folks. We've got all sorts of highly qualified, very, very smart people from around the community who are you know, part of our governing body, making sure that we are growing at the pace that we need to, and not only remaining relevant, but remaining vital for the city of Cincinnati. You know, it is a humbling experience being around all these folks, because it is a passion-driven organization. There's, you know, no one's going to get rich selling vegetables because they love it, right? They're doing it. It's a different type of wealth that you accumulate, and it's one that fuels the heart. And I think that, you know, every weekend, that's really an experience that we're trying to communicate to the folks that come to Findlay Market. You know, certainly on the sunny days when there's, you know, 10,000 people here on a Saturday or a Sunday, that excitement, that sort of enthusiasm is very evident. On the rainier days in October or November or January or February, when we're still out here kicking it, you know, that enthusiasm is there. Sometimes you got to look a little bit harder for it, but people don't come out in that weather unless they know what is happening at Findlay Market and what they can find, and understand the importance of doing that, being able to support farmers throughout those seasons, being able to find great, you know, ceramic crafts or flowers or jewelry that's handmade or things like that that's also available at the market, you know, fresh baked breads and all of those kinds of things, because we're year round, you know, folks can always find it here.
Well, and all around the market too, it's all colorful. I mean, you have end up having the shops that are around the perimeter. They're all painted different colors, and it's bright, and you got flags flying, and it's awnings are multicolored. And
during the peak of the season, we have flower boxes that are just cascading with beautiful, beautiful flowers. It really is an incredible scene.
So, Andrew, when you were growing up, what, in Chicago, in the Chicago
area? I grew up in Northeast Ohio.
Okay, so you grew up in Northeast Ohio. Did you think that someday you'd be ending up working in a market with a
Well, personally, sort of yeah, when I was growing up, I thought that I was going to be a movie star or the president of the United States, but...
I wish you'd apply.
But actually, when I lived in Denver for a long time and worked at Whole Foods, and when I was working at Whole Foods...
So that's how you knew Larimer Square.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. I'm no stranger to Larimer Square. But worked with a friend at Whole Foods who then... turned out to be someone who was running the Handmade Homemade Market in Denver. And so volunteered with him and his partner for a number of years with that market, sort of got the bug for it. You know, we live in a time where it's very, very convenient and very easy to hop on Amazon, get on the internet, find whatever you're looking for, and do all of your Christmas shopping during a lunch break, you know, sometime in October or, you know, the beginning of December, whatever. And that's fine. That's fine, but when you understand what your money goes to, and when you understand if you're able to keep it in your community, how much that can enrich your community, that was something that I realized, you know, the more I can kind of connect with that, the better. And when we moved to Cincinnati, that was something that really, really struck me about Findlay Market. You know, it's here, and it has been here for a long time, and it will always be here, actually. The land was willed off to the city of Cincinnati in perpetuity so that it could be a marketplace. And so this will always be a marketplace in Cincinnati, which is incredible. And to be a part of that history and to have any kind of impact on how it proceeds into the future is really a great opportunity for anybody who gets to do the work. But it was an exciting opportunity for me.
Well, I can tell you're excited about it. And I still keep coming back to the fact that this place had gone through the Civil War and World War One and World War Two, the Great
German
Depression.
German hysteria, you know, between World War One and World War Two.
Sure,
well,
this is a big German community here too, and all of that, and the heart is still beating here in the middle of the city. And when you look down the road, and you look at the next 5 or 10 years, and what excites you the most? I mean, when you kind of look at what you're doing right now, you're clearly excited about it. But what do you get enthused about when you look down the road?
You know, I get enthused about the opportunity to communicate the importance of healthy food systems, healthy local food systems. I think that more and more people are aware of environmental strains that we're dealing with as a country, as a global community, and knowing what an impact local food systems has on those kinds of issues is an important thing for Findlay Market to be able to communicate and an important thing for our community members to participate in. So I'm very enthusiastic about that. I'm enthusiastic about the way that a marketplace that can cater to everybody in the community has the opportunity to bring people together. You know, that is something that I think certainly right now is crucial for our country, and in the state of Ohio is also very important. And so I think that Findlay Market has a role to play in that. I'm also just excited about, you know, maybe less philosophically important, but no less important to the community of Cincinnati. We've got an incredible food scene, and it's growing, and it's getting recognition from places like Bon Appetit and Food and Wine. Findlay Market is really a big part of the growth of that food scene, and what's happening in Over the Rhine sort of fueling the growth of the food scene. You know, we are excited about our role in that as well. And really, when it comes to just an equitable economic development, you know, we mentioned a little bit about the changing sort of face of the Over the Rhine community, and we are a community that's dealing with gentrification. What can we do about that? Well, you know, Findlay Market might not be able to solve anything, and I don't know if there actually has been any great solution to gentrification ever discussed in our, you know, country, but we're working on things like developing a restaurant where the employees of that restaurant will be folks who have traditionally difficult barriers to employment, and working to make sure that they understand, you know, hey, help us develop these skills. You know, we can get these skills developed with you so that you're able to go forward in an industry that's growing, not just in this community, but is growing around the country. Those are all things that I think are really, really exciting. But, you know, we're just excited to get folks, you know, experiencing Findlay Market as not just a great weekend experience, but as a day-to-day grocery store as well. You know, that's something that, you know, over the last decade or so, Finley Market's gotten away from a little bit, and we're going back into that direction, especially as more people are moving into the community.
You know, I get excited when I hear you talk about getting excited and I hear other people around the country. You know, the thing that strikes me too is that you can jump into different communities around the country, and they're all figuring out how to do their thing.
Yeah.
You know, you have done some really exciting, outstanding things here in this market. And there are other places that are doing outstanding, interesting things, but everybody's able to do their own version of it.
Sure.
You know, it's not like somebody sent a boilerplate out from Washington or Columbus or wherever mm-hmm. and said, okay, here's the way to do it. People are figuring out what works with their community, and mm-hmm. then that is exciting.
Yeah.
Quite a program. If people want to find out more about Finley Market and these activities we've been touching on, where do they find you?
Well, our website is finleymarket.org. Just to say that as weird as possible, finleymarket.org. And that is F-I-N-D-L-A-Y.
I've misspelled it every time, and that's why the emails keep coming back to me.
No, I understand that. We also are on Facebook at Finley Market. We're on Twitter at Finley Market. We are on Instagram at Finley Market as well.
Well, I tell you what, people need to check it out. If they ever get close, they need to drop in. And I'm really happy to have you, Andrew Pitlick, the district manager for the Finley Market, on Farm to Table Talk. Thanks.
Hey, Roger, it's been a real pleasure being here. Thanks so much for coming to Cincinnati.
You've been listening to Farm to Table Talk with your host, Roger Wasson.